Man, I'm just a fucking, I'm a punk kid. We grew up in San Diego when I was fucking little cholo wannabe shit. And then had a fucking kid when I was 16. Mm-hmm. I ain't supposed to be here right now. Mm. I ain't supposed to be doing none of this shit. Mm. I'm in the fucking army. I'm an officer. I'm a fucking Mexican officer at that.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
Yeah.
That shit ain't right. And then this happened. But I had those values, man. That's just what it is. It's in me. I've been fighting my whole life.
Right.
And it's just not something that's been publicized. Right?
Understood.
So for me, it's all about just getting in there and making sure the right thing happens. I fuck up a lot.
For sure.
But my big thing was, you know, integrity.
Yep.
When you said that, like, you've been a fighter your whole life, when you said, like, hey, man, I'm just a guy who went to a club.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You say, I've been kind of doing this my whole life.
Yeah.
Would you say that there was an angle? Because, look, for whatever it's worth, you know, when I was young, I found myself in a bunch of trouble, too.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's a big period of my life where, you know, I was finding myself sort of in a lot of street fights, especially with the guys that I grew up with. And you know, I think we look back at our lives sometimes with a lens that paints a picture of a narrative that we like to build for ourselves.
Yeah.
But I guess my question for you is, do you feel like you sort of, this idea of doing the right thing, growing up, getting into trouble in San Diego, do you feel like you were always kind of doing the right thing? Do you feel like the trouble you were getting into or your relationship with violence at that point was you being on the side of justice, you trying to do what's right?
Yeah. No, and,
can you give me an example?
Well, I mean, look, so every fight I got into, there was a reason.
Right.
I didn't run around looking for fights. Well, at some points I probably did. But from what I remember, I was fucking fighting just because I had to. You know, it was either about my brother or it was about my girlfriend at the time. And then when we had our kid, I was like, it changes you. Once you put a kid in your arms,
for sure,
fucking done. So I was all about responsibility. I got to take care of this kid. And so I didn't, that's why in high school I come out, I was getting in a little bit of trouble, but not into trouble where I was recorded, right? So there's no fucking cameras, none of this shit. So had there been Facebook and all this other shit, dude, me, I would not be where I'm at. The army would have been like, get the fuck out of here. Yeah, going in. So I was like, okay, but that's what we do, man. And that's where the army kind of stepped in. The recruiter didn't hand me the fucking recruiting paper to sign me up as a private. He asked me about my grades for some fucking reason, and then he gave me the West Point application. So I was going to go to West Point. I'd applied, I got everything in, got my little senator recommendation or whatever the hell it was from in San Diego, or representative. And then they put me in the room at San Diego State, and I was doing the physical. So I was on my knees, throwing a football, this kind of crazy shit. And then I get in this room, and he's like, yeah, so you got a kid, right? I go, yeah. He's like, you got to sign this paper, give all your rights up to your kid. You can't have a dependent while you're in West Point. And I didn't know this shit. And I'm like, dude, I'm not married to her. I don't know if I'll ever see my kid again. So I literally, at that moment, I'm making a decision as 18, 17, making a decision for the rest of my life, right? Do I go to West Point, rent my kid off, or do I, you know, fucking go?
What was your reason for being, like, why the Army? Like, why?
Because
like,
it was safe, man. I mean, everything, my dad was a carpenter. He was always like, hey, he would quit and then be like, fucking, I'm out of here. We don't eat. And we fucking didn't eat, you know? But he always found a way to get to work. But at the end of the day, it's not about... It's that drive, right? Like, you want that... I'm risk-averse, but I also am a risk-taker, right? So I don't want to put my family in a position where they can't, you know, they can't eat. And so for me, coming out of high school, I mean, what the fuck am I going to do? I'm going to go be a carpenter,
right,
like my dad, because that's what you got to do. My brother got into trouble. He ended up in the Army. He did his 3 years while I was in college, or his 4 years, and then we flipped. So then I went in as an officer. He came out. He was, you know, E4, just
okay.
Joined. He's an artilleryman just like me.
Yep.
And then he took that and became a fucking lawyer, man. He's a big shot down
wow.
in... Yeah, so he worked for the SEC and in New York for...
So you saw something I imagine happened. That's your older brother?
No.
It's like your younger brother. Got it.
Yeah,
got
he
it.
Had no kids. So he was able to study and do
got
all
it,
that shit.
Got it.
I was like, I had 4 years on my scholarship. And
right.
I couldn't afford it. So I was like, I got to get it done.
Yep.
So I did an elementary ed, you know, fucking just something, liberal studies, get out of here. I got to get done.
Yep.
So 99, like I graduated on the 26th of May, and on the 10th I was gone. On the plane, I'm out. I was at Fort Lewis. Yeah, I left San Diego 99 right after graduation.
Right into the Army.
And it got married on the 1st of June, on the 10th, commissioned, and I was gone.
Wow.
And then she met me up when we went to Oklahoma.
Okay.
So, yeah, I mean, and it was 15 years, but you talk about defining moments in a person's life, right?
Yep.
Like, everybody has those moments.
For sure.
Me, it was 9/11,
yep.
And then now it's going to be this, right? Because this has changed my life with my family.
I can only imagine.
Right? Because they were there. But 9/11 changed my family because we went in the Army. And my wife was like, what are we doing? I go, well, 4 years and I'm out of here. I'm right. fucking hanging out. I did it for school. Yeah. I got a little training. I'll be out of here. But I fell in love with it, right? Working with soldiers, team shit.
Yeah.
I'm huge. I've always been on a team. Baseball, yeah. soccer, football, yeah. all that shit. And then yeah. when I got to school, at college, it was fucking ROTC. And so you're just constantly on a team.
Yeah.
That's what I thrive in, right? And I still, to this day, don't think I've found my, you know, my passion, right? My wife says beer, so she makes beer. And she found it. I don't know how, but she fucking found it. And for me, it was like, what the fuck do I do? I got out of the Army. I'm like, dude, what do I do? And I finally kind of got used to it as a contractor, teaching and talking to soldiers about shit that we did and training them. I felt like that's my purpose, you know, leadership and just trying to teach how to lead folks when you got to make them do shit they don't want to do.
Talk to me a little bit about, you said the first defining moment in your life was 9/11.
I was at Fort Lewis.
Okay.
Second lieutenant.
Okay.
I was in 528th Infantry as a Pfister. So I did that. And then I just moved back to 137. And it went 01. That's when it happened. I literally was going to PT and I was listening to Howard Stern.
Wow.
So it was 5:30 in the morning, going to PT, fucking listening to Stern. I lived on post. North Fort, or and then there's Main Post. So I was driving to Post, and I go, "Fuck, is he talking about a plane into the building?" So I go to PT, and I tell one of my majors he was from New York, and I go, "Yo, man, the fucking Stern's over there saying there's a plane in this thing." He's like, "Oh, that happens all the time." I said, "All right, whatever, man. I don't fucking know. I'm not in New York. I don't know what this shit's about." So we do PT, and then at the end of the PT, we're cooling off, and the colonel gets pulled from some kid comes running across the field, pulls him back to the brigade commander's office. And I was like, all right, whatever. So I get my car, I go back across post. And as I cross the gate, it goes over Interstate 5. I went under the freeway and went back into the North Fort. They fucking closed all the gates. I'm like, what the fuck? So I go to the house.
That never happens.
No. Well, right. At that time, all the gates were open.
Right.
Like you could have gone to Pendleton, just fucking cruised in.
Right.
So it's a different thing, right? So true. They close the gates. And I'm like, well, whatever, fuck that. And I go to the house, and my wife's over there crying. She's got my baby. She's only one, Cassie. So she's sitting on the couch with her. She's crying. And I'm like, what the fuck? She's like, and just pointed. And literally as I walked in, looked at the TV, that's when they go, oh shit, the Pentagon got hit. Fuck. So I'm in uniform. Like I'm in my PTs. And I'm like, the fucking Pentagon just got hit? I'm going to war. Like that's it. And my son's at school. Right? Like, so there's a normal life going on. But everything for us just changed. Like that. And that happened for everybody who was in. It was a different thing.
And can you tell me sort of like emotionally when you saw that? I don't know what the first image you saw. No, there was a Pentagon or the towers.
It was the Pentagon. And then I was like, oh, fuck. I run in. I grabbed my fucking my uniform and just threw it on. I didn't fucking shower. I didn't do any of the shit you usually do. I just fucking put my uniform on. I'm like, I got to go back to the fucking battalion. I don't know what the fuck's going to happen. So I drive back around post because you can go through the back way without going across the freeway. So I drive back all over my unit and nobody else can get back on post. They all lived off post. They locked the fucking base down. So it was me. I was now the commander of my fucking unit as a brand new lieutenant. And I got a bunch of kids running around with fucking rifles and they're putting ammo in. And I'm like, where the fuck you get this ammo? And he's like, oh shit, the sergeant major told me to get it.
Yeah.
I'm like, dude. I don't trust you with the fucking rifle when it's empty and you're running around with this shit full.
Right.
But it was panic because nobody knew what was going to happen. Yeah. There were still planes in the air. It was still one of those fucking things. So it was like, oh shit, where do we go from here? And then it kind of cooled off. You know, it gave you a couple weeks. But we all, I mean, the brigade commander brought us all out there. And I was in the Striker brigade. So the first one of those wheeled Striker vehicles. I was in that test bed brigade when they did that at Lewis. So we're supposed to deploy 96 hours. So we were all like keyed up.
When did you get that? When did you get that information that you're going to deploy
96 hours? No. That's what our mission was.
Got it.
So then it was like, oh, fuck. We're going to go. We didn't even have fucking strikers yet. So we were like in this weird window of we're training like we're going to go in 96 hours, but we didn't have the shit to do it. And then it was like, okay, cool. We kind of eased off of that. They started doing Afghanistan and I was in that limbo. So I was like, fuck, I'm going to, I got to get done. You know, I just got promoted to captain. So we went down, I went to school. And as I'm in school, we invade fucking Iraq.
So I'm in school, and all of a sudden there's a fucking big war going, which includes us traditional units, not the, you know, the specialty guys and shit that were doing the Northern Alliance stuff. I was just a regular fucking Joe, man. And, well, not a Joe, but I mean, I was a regular guy, right? So that's what I did. I got into Europe. I got to my first duty station in Europe, and they sent me in November. So I got there in August, September, and then a month later, I left my wife and kid, and I went to Iraq for Baghdad from 03 to 04. And then I come back, defensed us again, so because that unit was going back again. So I went back in 06 with the same unit for the whole entirety of 06. And then I came back to Carson. And in between all that, my wife falls in love with beer. And so it's fucking weird, man. So yeah, I'm in Europe for 5 years as a Mexican kid. And at that time, everybody hated Americans because, you know, you went to war, you fucking assholes. And I'm like, I didn't do it, man. I mean, my wife went to the bank and this fucking dude jumps at her, a German dude, like, hey, what the fuck? She was wearing my army shirt. So he's fucking, you know what I'm saying? He was just pissed because we went to war and it dragged, you know, everybody felt like they were dragging Europe into war with Iraq.
Sure.
So it was fucking weird, man. And then we get back to the States and no shit. I took command and we going right back. So 08, 09, and then I went back again in 11, 12.
You were in Europe or you were in Iraq?
No. I got back to Lewis, so I was in Germany. I deployed to Iraq 03, 04, then all of 06. Then I moved from Germany back to the States and then 08, 09. So I got here to Colorado in June of 2007, and then we deployed in 2008. It was right after my birthday, so yeah, June of 08. So a year later. So it was almost every other year I was deploying.
Did you want to go over? Did you want
to? Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, but look, I'm a proud. Look, my dad used to march us around. My dad was a draftee, so he went to Nam as a draftee, and he always had that fucking stigma of, you know, hey, you guys were. He was trying to fight all that. You know, inside, like, people treat him like shit.
Can you explain
when
that?
Well, he didn't even know he got awards or nothing. When he came back, he fucking got a piece of paper. They put him on a bus, and he went back to San Diego. He became a carpenter.
Right.
So I go, Dad, you mean, let me see your DD-214. You got awards. What the fuck, you know? He's like, I don't fucking know. Like, I mean, it wasn't a thing.
He
went. He did his shit, but he never talked about it. He was always a little, you know. It's my dad, man. And I get it now because I've gone through it, but I've gone through it multiple times, which makes it weirder for me. But I understand his fight is his fight. Like I said, everybody has different stories. Everybody's looking at shit from a different lens.
For sure.
So I go back to with this event, I got all my family in there and we barely have started talking to each other about this shit. And I know I'm jumping all over the place,
it's okay.
But that is where we are putting pieces together because everybody's lens is different. My daughter heard the whole thing, didn't see any of it because she was in the back. But when she came out, she saw a whole other scene than I did.
Yeah.
My wife went into a fucking shock. Totally different. She's trying to piece together what happened. And mind you, there's a video of this whole fucking thing. So when you look at it, it's like it's factual. But it's not what you saw or not what you felt. And there's a huge difference. So like when I was in the army, I was an artilleryman, so I did targeting and you'd see people die on the screen all the time. That I think was a little bit worse because it keeps playing in your head than when you actually see a body. Because when you see the body, your brain will shut down things that you're like, okay, I don't need to see this dude's fucking face, but I know he's dead. I got to get this done or whatever. So you start doing things. But when you're watching on a video, there's nothing to do but watch.
Yeah.
So it tunnels right into your brain. It's the same thing like with movies, right? That's why it's impactful, because it just fucking goes right into your soul if you let it. But when you see human bodies do shit it ain't supposed to do, it fucks your head up.
That's right.
So my wife experienced that with Saddam. I was downrange when they caught him, and then I was downrange again when they put him on trial. So then when they hung him, it ended up online. Everybody was watching online. My wife watched it. Couldn't get it out of her head for 3 months. And I go, dude, I told you. But nobody
told her what?
I told her, don't watch this shit.
Don't watch it, yeah.
But she did because she was like, this is, like I said, 9/11 changed us as a family. Could have destroyed us, I watched some of my buddies shake hands with their wife and be like, can't do it anymore. I still want to do my 20 years. She's like, I ain't fucking doing this no more. And they walk away. Nobody cheated on anybody. Nobody just shook hands like, hey, yo, I'm out.
Because what? What is the thing?
Because
it's
fucked up. You come back different every time. Every single time, I'm a different man.
Did it make you understand your dad more?
Yes.
Yeah?
How so? Because he came home and nobody ever addressed it. Just stuffing it in a hole. Now, his dad went World War II vet. So his dad did the same shit. Hey, march on. He's an electrician. You do your shit, take care of your family. I understand that. Problem was, I kept fucking doing it. And when you keep fucking doing it, it changes you every time. And I never fucking realized it. I always thought, hey, I'm good. Fuck you. I'm angry. I'm fighting dudes on my lawn. I'm 40-year-old man in a fucking club just fighting people and shit.
Meaning when you're coming back.
When I'm here. Yeah. Because again, it goes back to, and this is what I told my wife. You're on a path. Somebody changed that path for you. You didn't choose to go that way. Oops, sorry.
You're all right.
You didn't choose to go that way. Somebody chose to change it for you, right? They killed my buddy. Or they blew up the truck in front of me. They blew up the truck, you know, whatever. You can take any scenario. Somebody tried to kill you. That changes how you look at life. It changes how you think of things, right? I don't give two shits about anything, honestly.
What do you mean you don't
give two shits? Like this whole thing, I didn't think about, oh, am I gonna die?
Right.
I don't care.
Right.
Because I already know I've been in a position where I thought I was gonna die and I just did what I was supposed to do, right? It doesn't mean I'm better than anybody,
of course,
but it puts me in a different mindset. That's not a good, and my brother told me this the other day. He goes, you got to understand something. The fact that you raged and you fucking, you know, because I beat the fuck out of this dude. I thought I killed him. It was like fucking Hannibal,
in the
right?
Nightclub, yeah.
Okay? And just fucking, I thought I'd killed him. He apparently didn't die. But that was okay with me because he tried to kill us. Right. He tried to harm us,
right?
Your buddies, you drag him out, take care of him. And I didn't lose five people in any one event in Iraq or Afghanistan.
Mm.
We lost three, four, like, and a couple or one here, injuries and shit, but you evac'd them. They got out of there. You took care of them best you could. But this one, five people down, done. Nobody in there has any way to fucking protect themselves, right? But when do you have shit to protect yourself? And I'm not going to run around with a gun because, honestly, I'd probably shoot someone on accident, right? Because I have a different mindset. My wife's never let me carry guns because she's like, dude, there's a lot of shit that she saw on her end that was able to kind of get me to finally take care of myself.
Your wife's an angel, man.
God bless her. I don't know why she hung out with me because every time I came back, like, we literally sat in a car and she was like, I'm done. I cannot deal with you. You're fucking crazy.
And that's because of the state that you were put in. I just want to go back for a second to how you said how something happens, an event happens, a friend dies, the truck in front of you blows up, things that then change your life.
Yeah.
Does each one come with its own distinct?
I think everything's got its own distinct shit, right? Because the circumstances are always different. So, like, look, Iraq and Afghanistan, it's over there. When I came home, it wasn't here.
For sure.
The problem was adjusting to not having that there. So when you're out there, everything's a fucking threat, right? I had a little kid on a fucking donkey pacing us while we were driving in the convoy. And I'm like, fuck. I as my boss on the radio, I go, do you think this kid's fucking pacing us? Are we fucked? So I don't know. And then that's when we fucking blew up on the way back out. I talked with my hands, man. I'm sorry.
Are you good? Have at it, bro. Fuck that thing. Throw it through the window.
So the kid was pacing us, and they put like three IDs down that same fucking route. Because we went in, we did our shit, and when we came back out, we hit the first one.
And you think it was the kid on the donkey?
It was absolutely, because we knew. And the problem was, and I called my boss right after this shit happened, because when that happened, he was in the second truck. First truck blew up. I was in the third truck. So I went around, and then, listen, I did shit that I remember being trained to do from my, you know, previous deployments, all this other shit. And we're in these MATVs, and you're like fucking 15, 20 feet up in the air with glass an inch and a half thick. You can't see shit. And I'm like, dude, these guys just put this shit out here because we were on this road 2 hours ago. So it was weird. So if I take you through the scenario, I'll start over.
Please,
so
you're good.
Go to the patrol base.
Yep.
We're doing our shit with the locals. And here's the thing. You got to treat everybody like they're fucking, you know, with respect and dignity. And but you don't know if this guy's the one trying to kill you.
How does that
fucks you up, yep. Right?
How
because,
so?
Because you're like, okay, everybody's a threat, but I can't treat everybody like a threat. Because if I do that, then they are going to be a fucking threat.
Right.
Right? So, and that's your job.
Is that a tactical thing with you or is that a moral thing?
No, it's both. But that's what the Army trains you. We're not trained to go over there and just start fucking capping people.
Right.
You're trained to deal with the civilian populace and see what the fuck is going on and then figure out who the enemy is and take the fucker out.
Right.
You got to get through the civilians to do that. But when you're in a foreign environment, everybody's a fucking threat because you don't know anybody. Right? Same reason I say, like, for a place like this, the club and nightclub, like, it was the six of us. It was our little squad. I didn't know anybody in that fucking club.
Right.
Anybody could have pulled out a fucking gun.
Right.
But I have to trust that I'm in America where shit like that don't happen. Mm-hmm. But in there, in Afghanistan, Iraq, you got to be ready because it's going to happen at any moment. Mm-hmm. It could be the guy you were training with or training.
Mm.
And we've had him, one of the Christmases, dude came up and just started fucking shooting. He was one of the platoon guys in the ENA. We were training. Started shooting, fucking put a hole in a dude's leg. And I'm like, that's the kind of shit that fucks you up because then everything becomes a threat. So then when you get home, you're always angry. You're always looking for threats. You're always,
impossible
you're always
to
key,
turn
on key. You're cued. And that's the shit that you have to learn to deal with. Listen, it took me 10 years to finally go to a fucking, just to see a doc. I was already a major. My boss finally said, listen, dude, you're fucking nuts. Because of that incident.
Because of which incident?
The one I just talked about with
the donkey?
The IDs. Yeah. So the kid, the donkey, he paced us. We fucking went in. There was two little tiny villages off the side of the road. And I was like, fuck, all right, whatever. So we go in, and I mean, it was just a fucking kid on a donkey. But I'm like, okay, he's pacing this. He's trying to figure out whatever. It's an open road. It shouldn't be a big deal. We can see him. We go in. We do our couple hours there. We get in the truck. Human report. Hey, dude. They said there's 9 IEDs on the route for the – it was the Lion of Farah. And that was my boss because he's just – they just, that's what they said, right? So I go, okay, so that's you. So they put
called IEDs. Your boss the Lion of.
Well, it was just that was what they interpreted. It could have been anything else. They could call him whatever the fuck. But that's what they put on the report. So I go, boss, that's you, right? He, fucking Colonel. He's the guy there for the whole province. He was on the radio and he goes, what do you think? I go, oh, well, I think it's probably fucking true. I mean, we had the kid on the fucking donkey. They probably put a fucking IED out. So and he goes, so what are we doing? And I said, well, we gotta fucking go. We can't sit here and just fucking wait and pray that the thing blows up on its own. I was like, well, and so I told the kid in the front lead vehicle, I said, hey, put your DVE down. So it's an IR viewer, so you can drive at night. I said, put it down. If the dirt was just fucking moved, it'll be a different color. It'll come up hot or it'll come up cold, whatever the fuck it was, but it's a different color than the road. It's fresh. It's within the last 2 hours, probably going to see it. He goes, Roger that, sir. As soon as he said that, it fucking blew up. So I was fucking pissed because I'm like, fuck. It said it 2 minutes earlier, 3 minutes earlier, whatever. But they fucking blew up. So we all go into our fucking movement and shit. And me and my platoon sergeant for that convoy, we flipped around. So I went right. I said, L, go left. So he went left. I went right. We got in front. And now we got this report of 9 IEDs. And we're like, bro, there's not 9. That's not fucking possible. But there's probably 2 or 3 somewhere. Or it's daisy chained or whatever. So then I was freaking out that if we roll and we're coming up on this road, we can't get back on the road. But if there's more IDs, nobody can come get the fucking guys that just blew up. So we got to kind of figure out how to clear this. So I'm up in the truck. I'm like, I can't see shit. So again, this goes back to training I had the previous rotation with my old commander. And I go, I'm getting out. Like, that's the only way you can see shit. So I got out of the fucking truck and I'm leaving the truck. And everybody's like, what the fuck is he doing? But I'm looking for fucking changes in the road. I can't see it from up there. So I'm down there fucking looking on the side of the road.
What is your mindset when you're out there
knowing
there's
nothing? Listen, and so this goes back. It'll kind of come to fruition.
I got you.
So,
I got you.
So I'm doing this and I'm like, fuck, I'm not seeing nothing. And so I do a cross with the two kids that were with me. I say, hey, we're going to this fucking village. Because we saw a little puff of like, it's like a little white puff cloud. I go, these fuckers signaling to the other village, the shit went off, or whatever. Or maybe there's another one, you know, hey, get the other one ready. I don't fucking know what that signal was. So we're going in this fucking village. And the two kids with me, one of them had just fucking blown up. I had already gotten him out of the truck. And it was another kid that was in me with my truck. And then when I got my driver and I got my gunner up there. But I'm like, we're fucking clearing this village. Let's go. So we get to the fucking wall and they're like, sir, this, you're fucking nuts. It's just 3 of us. And I'm like, fuck, because I was just pissed. I wanted to, somebody tried to kill my fucking team. I need to do something. So I sat there against the wall and I'm like, fuck, all right, well, we'll back out. And as I back out and the 3 of us just kind of walked out of the gate area, and it's just mud hut shit, man. This is like fucking Star Wars shit, Tatooine. It's what it looks like. It's fucking, it's crazy. My old platoon, or one of my old ops sergeants, Busy, we call him Busy. Busy comes with his platoon. They were at the patrol base we were at. He comes with his platoon across the field. And I go, yo, Busy, we got to fucking clear this. He's like, got it, sir. And then that platoon goes and fucking clears it. Nothing. So we interrogate this old man about the fucking whole thing. It was a nightmare. He was fucking loaded. The fucking shit in his mouth. Opium. So we're like, dude, all right, whatever. It's a fucking waste of time. And I told Busy, I go, well, listen, dude, there's more IEDs on this road. Don't fuck get on the road. And me and him were in the same unit before, so we were, I was like, you remember we did NTC? We never got on the roads. My boss said maneuver. So we didn't stay on the roads because if there's fucking dirt or whatever the fuck around you, why aren't you driving on that? So you got a fucking 4x4. That's right. What you got these trucks for.
Right.
Maneuver. So I was like, stay out the fucking road. I don't give a shit what fucking fence or farmland, whatever. I'll fucking tell the villagers tomorrow, you try to kill us, I will fucking drive on these farms until you guys take every IED off these roads.
Right.
So Busy's like, all right, got it, sir. He gets in, he starts taking off. And the fucking the lieutenant with him, he runs through a fence, or it wasn't a fence, it's like a wall, right? He drives through it, and the kid decided no, and goes into what would be a kill zone because there's the fucking end of the fence and the road. Goes in, and I'm still walking, looking for an IED, and this dude fucking blows up in front of us. Ugh. Same patrol that just fucking helped me clear this thing. So I'm like, the fuck, are you kidding me? And the kids with me, they were already shook from theirs, and they're like, oh shit, we're never getting out of here. Like, it was, I understood what these kids were going through. I was like, fuck, what do? I got these guys, I just fucking made them watch another one go off. So I get back to the truck, and I get on the radio, and I tell my boss, yo, and he goes, Rich, before you say fucking anything, you ever do some shit like that again, I'm not fucking calling Jess. That whole time, I hadn't thought about nothing but the people with me. And he put me right back into, the fuck, do you got a family? And you're trying to clear up, you know, you're just doing stupid shit because you're on this rage. This is not on my fourth deployment. So I've built up enough anger where I felt like I'm almost invincible, right? And it's not true. It's not. One fucking dude take you out, right? That's all it takes, one bullet. So that was my defining moment of, oh shit, I think I need to get some help when I get back and all that kind of shit. And my wife was finally like, dude, you're done. I'm fucking done. I can't do this anymore. I couldn't keep up anyway. I'm a big kid, man. It's a lot of work for me to stay fit and all this other shit. And I'm like, I'm done. I'm good. I'm out of here. So that was what changed it. And then I started going to the doc. And it was funny because he was saying the same shit I used to tell my soldiers. You know, Hey, fight flight's all fucked up. You guys need to fucking, you know, at ease the shit in the weekends. And don't be partying too hard. You're going to fucking get in fights and all this, you know. All the same shit.
Easy to say it, but harder to hear it.
You're the leader, man. You just fucking do it. And then when you get in trouble, it's like, hey, whoa. You know, I'm in a bad spot, but I have to get out of that.
Let me ask you this, man. So you said you sort of had this way about you your whole life, growing up in San Diego, whatever it was, where, you know, you're walking out on that road, you know there's IEDs, but you're so fucking pissed off, like you're going to find them. There's no part of you that's sitting there being like, fuck, am I going to be okay or not? It's all about, let's just keep these guys safe, right?
Yeah.
And I imagine, I have so much respect, as I'm sure you do, as anybody who puts a uniform on and makes that decision. How common is that?
I don't know. So, and again, like I said, and I said this in that fucking press conference, I was like, yo, there's guys out there doing this shit every day.
Right.
Right? And I've known guys in Ranger Battalion, I've known guys in SF, and all these... the greatest Americans you ever met in your life.
Yep.
Right? And these guys do this shit every day like nothing.
Yep.
Again, different people.
Yep.
Different lens. And it fucks them up too. Or, you know, some guys are just okay with it. You know, they can live with that. They're good with it. For me, it was a different fucking lens. And so that whole always kind of ready to go fight and think about others, that's my mom and my dad, right? My mom sacrificed like fucking everything. She lived in Imperial Valley. It was east of San Diego. And so she moved over, left her family to be with my dad. And she raised us with my dad. And it was always about do the right thing and fucking go outside and play. Don't fucking come home until you're good. Make sure your shit's put away. You know, like there was always rules. The sports was there to kind of keep us even more kind of in a zone. My parents just wanted us to be good kids. They didn't want us to fuck up. I got to do for my family so that those guys can stay alive. Because my wife and my daughter and my son, I mean, that's it.
Yeah.
I got to keep them together no matter what. And in that moment, in that club, my wife and daughter were there. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's no thought process. There was no, oh, should I go get this guy? Should I do this? I didn't know. So Chip, my best friend, Chip and Joanne, they were with us. He was sitting next to me, like, where you are, he was sitting there. He got shot in his knee, and it went in, fucked up his other knee, so he was shot really twice, but it was only one bullet. And then his wife got shot 5 times. She was standing right in front of him. I didn't get shot. I don't even know how to fucking live with that, right? Right next to me, best friends, shot the fuck up. So I fall, and there was like there, and when I was falling, we were all good because we were all kind of taking cover. Because as soon as he came in, I smelled it. I'm fucking cordite. I knew what the fuck was going on. Everybody, it was weird because I was looking at the dance floor because my wife and daughter were dancing. And you can see everybody there kind of like, what the fuck? Is this the music? Like, it was a confusion of
with
what...
the gunfire, the
yeah,
sound.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The fuck, dude.
Can you just take me through a little bit? Just like, yeah, take...
So, look, that's for, like, a lot of that detail shit, the DA's got to deal with all that, but I don't know how many rounds. I'm just going to tell you, this guy fucking came in with an AR, and he came in fucking slinging lead, right? Pop, 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 and I'm like, fuck. But what I didn't know, I said, and Chip told me later, a couple weeks ago, he's like, you know, you yelled out, are you fucking kidding me? Did
you,
I?
You yelled that I out yelled to the that, world or yeah, to
no,
the guy?
No, until when me and him were taking cover, Chip said he flipped the table and he heard me yell, are you fucking kidding me? Because what I did, as soon as I heard and smelled it, I turned and I saw him, just the side, as he was firing into the bar area. And then I was like, I got to take cover because the dude's going to fucking, he's literally fucking from here to where the kitchen is, right? That's where he's standing. I look over my shoulder, I see a fucking muzzle flash. I already smelled it. I go, fuck. Are you fucking kidding me? I'm doing this again in fucking America? Right? This is not where I'm supposed to be doing this at. But that was what
the
I
most
think got
precious people in your world right there.
Yes. And so at that moment when I said that, which I don't remember saying, but he told me I said it, I think that was the trigger to go back in. And that's why I said combat mode, because when I said, are you fucking kidding me, was more like a transition. I now I'm not a civilian again. I have to go back to be a fucking soldier.
And you had been doing work with a doc to divorce yourself
managed,
from that.
And honest to God, I felt like it was managed. I'm on the meds. I'm doing the fucking work, all the counseling shit. I fucking finished all that shit. I'm like, dude, I'm good. My wife was like, dude,
how long was that process? Like the process
at least 10 years.
And in that 10 years, you were having issues with anger.
Yeah,
and like,
sleep, all that shit.
Can you describe just a little bit of like sort of the symptoms, like how would they manifest, like shit that you would do where you would know, okay,
No. So, okay. So, and I use this example with my wife and daughter because I told them you're going to go through this. You don't even understand it. And it's what it's going to be. There was the one morning I came down from going to PT and I had gone to bed before the wife and daughter, and the fucking lights were on, all the lights in the downstairs area. And I was like, this fucking bullshit. And as if somebody had disrespect, like shit in my fucking house. And then I went, I'm talking about 2 cents fucking energy. Like, I mean, like, what is the purpose of me fucking getting this mad about the fucking lights? Who gives a shit? That's when I kind of realized I'm fucked. Something's wrong up here where everything became a fucking, either it was disrespectful, it was fucking anger, it was, everything was something against you. And I'm like, that's not right. That's not how I am. That's not what I want to be. And then I realized like how many fucking years I've been getting mad at shit. My kid didn't take out the trash and I went overboard. You know, like, and it should just be a, hey, just take the fucking trash out.
And was there an understanding that it was misplaced?
Honest to God, I thought I was good. I told my wife every time, like, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. I'm fine. Right. I'm fucking fine.
Right.
Then you start going to counseling. You're like, fuck, these are actually fucked up stories. These are fucked up things I went through. And it wasn't something that I put, well, I volunteered to do it. So yeah, absolutely. That's part of the game. But somebody chose to try and kill me. And that changes how you look at shit from that point on. Because there's, what other threat is there, right? If you think your life's in jeopardy, that's about it, because once it's over, it's over. There's no more anything, right? So for me, it was like, oh shit, I'm raging out over stupid shit. And then just recently, I told my wife the other day, because I told my doc, because I started going back again. And I go, yo, I took the laundry up. It was still in the fucking bag, and it was all folded. And I left it upstairs in the closet. And usually there's a bag there, a hamper bag for dirty laundry. So me and my wife throw our shit in the dirty laundry bag. So that morning, I guess she had put the fucking dirty laundry on top of the bag, thinking it was the fucking dirty laundry bag. Well, it was all clean folded shit. And I go in there, I'm like, what the fuck? I just got back from work. Yeah. I'm like, you fucking kidding me? I'm like, I'm in the closet going off. And then I had to stop myself. So I'm like, oh shit, I'm doing it again. Like, I'm fucking doing this shit again. And that's where I was telling Chip and Joe and my wife and daughter, I go, it's going to be 5 years from now when you step on a Lego that some kid left out. And you're fucking going off and you're telling this kid, you fucking idiot, I can't fucking, has nothing to do with that Lego. It has everything to do with somebody changed the trajectory of your life and you are now pissed off that that's where you're at. That moment, you're feeling whatever the fuck you're feeling because I got shot at back here and it changed the trajectory of my life. I no longer am on that path that I was on. I am on another fucking
path. Rich, how do you correct that? Like, what do you do?
I don't think you do. You can't. You have to learn to work with that new path.
Yeah.
And you have to accept it. And it took me 10 years to manage it from the fucking war shit. And I just went through another fucking combat rotation. I mean, I'm literally like, yo, what the fuck, man?
Yeah.
This dude unloaded in there.
So your 10 years, you've done this work. You put so much time into it. Would you say that like the state of your family, like you guys are in a healthy, good, positive place?
Look, everybody has.
Of course, every family. Right? Yeah.
But yes, I mean, my wife was tolerating me. Like everything was good, yeah. And my daughter, God bless her. She watched me and my, because I fucked up a lot of shit with my son because of this stuff. Because I was always gone. And he took the brunt of it. I put a lot of weight on his shoulders, fucked him up when he was a kid. And he had a lot of resentment toward me, and I always got mad about that because I'm like, fuck, I'm providing you a house, I'm doing this, I'm doing, but he's not, like, he's a kid, he's not, right. That's not what's right. important to me. I just wasn't there, right? So, I didn't grow up without a dad around. He did, but I was there. So then I'm pissed off that I'm here, but I'm not.
Right.
So it was one of those things where you don't fucking blame me. I didn't leave your mom.
Right. I get that.
You know what I'm saying? So it's just a whole fucking weird dynamic. So, but my son went, he dealt with all that shit. My daughter was there for all that, and I'm like, fuck. So I get done in 2013. She's 13 years old. And honestly, that was the other part of it. It was like, dude, she's going to go through high school and I'm going to be gone again every fucking year. I'm not doing this with my daughter. I already fucked up with my son. I already come to the realization of what I'd done because we had a bad relationship with that. And my son now, he lives out here in downtown LA. He's fucking 28. Jesus Christ, I'm fucking old.
I hear you, bro.
Yeah, I'm 45, right? I'm like, Jesus, I probably got a 28-year-old. I'm like, fuck it. Wait a minute, did we grow up together? And we laugh because my son's like, he's living in downtown LA, living like the fucking life. He does music and shit. Actually doing what he likes to do.
Beautiful.
And he's doing it. And I'm like, fuck, man. I told him the other, when we went to the Charger game shit and we were down here in LA with him. I was like, son, man, I'm just proud of the fact that you're able to pull this off. I go, listen, man, when I was 26, I was dependent on the army to fucking provide a house, give me money, all that shit. I go, you're literally doing this with your music and you're paying out the ass for this apartment down here. And I'm like, fuck, man, you did better than I would ever done. Cause I didn't take that risk.
Beautiful.
Everything was kind of risk averse.
I mean, if you could, man, to whatever like extent you're comfortable, take us through. Take us through that night and like as
yeah know, no I got you so bottom line is it was I had just come back from Oklahoma. I was out there helping out. I'm a defense contractor still too, so we have the brewery. I work for a defense contractor at Fort Carson. We still train soldiers getting ready to go. That has been my saving grace because it keeps me with soldiers, it keeps me with vets. All of us are vets that are doing it, so we all can kind of work through our shit together. And then, you know, Joe's still getting something out of us. You know, we're done, but at least, you know, hey, here's some tips of what the fuck I did. And so that's what we do when we help him in the instruction. So I was at Fort Sill with my buddy. I just drove back. I got a fucking ticket on the way back. Right? So I was pissed. It was Friday. And I'm like, fuck, okay, whatever, man. And it pissed me off because we got pulled over twice. And my buddy, Wayne, he's a skater kid, but he was in the Army. Just same thing. He retired. But he was a skater kid out of Detroit and then Arizona. So we understand because I'm a kid, San Diego skaters all over the fucking place.
Yeah.
So he's a little punk rock kid, and I used to hang out with those dudes. So I understand we get along really well. And he's like, you know how it is. Skater punks hate fucking cops. Yeah. I fucking can't stand cops because I was in the parking lot with my shirt up. Fucking dude, I'm not in the gang. They're like, fuck you, all this shit. So I'm like, all right. So I'm driving back from in Texas, and this fucking asshole pulls up to me. He's like, you know, I should fucking arrest you right now. And I'm like, the fuck did I do? I'm driving fast on an empty road, and who the fuck cares, right? Give me my fucking ticket. I'm like, sir, I didn't realize it. Give me the ticket. And he's all fucking, getting into my shit. Right. And Wayne's starting to get pissed. And I'm like, listen, dude, you can get mad at him. I can't. I fucking get mad at this dude. I'm going to jail right now.
Yeah.
So that was the whole fucking coming home. So I'm amped up, and then I told my wife about it. She's like, look, tomorrow we'll go out. We haven't hung out with Chip and Joanne. Everybody had gone through this rotation of fucking COVID prior to that, the second round.
Sure.
So we hadn't seen him in about a month. And then Ray had just got over it too. And so Cassie said, well, let's all go to dinner. And Jess goes, well, let's go to this. It's Westside Cantina in Colorado Springs. And they're good folks. They're really good folks. Nice taco shop. Fucking, pretty new. They wanted to put Jess's beer on tap.
Nice.
So we went over there to kind of do that and then have dinner, right?
Sure.
So it was all six of us. We met up. Chip and Joanne were there already with Ray.
So these are your friends. This is your daughter, her
her guy. Boyfriend, 6 years. They went to prom together. And so look, I met Jess in 92. I got married in when I was 22 to her. So my daughter had been with this guy for 6 years. She's 22 now.
Wow.
So her thought process, and again, like, it's to me, it's funny because we never really talk about it, but I told my wife all the time, I go, Ray's literally me. He's just, you know, he's trying to figure it out. You know, he's a good kid. You know, he's getting in trouble, but he's not, and he's just kind of figuring it out. He didn't join the military, but he was kind of figuring it out.
Yeah.
And I go, we got married at 22.
Yeah.
She's 22. God knows what was going through her head with her girlfriends about, you know, hey, you may have proposed, whatever. They've been together that long. And so I've referenced him as my son-in-law for a lot of shit. And I told Cassie, I go, you know what's funny is in the Army, when you die, when you get killed in combat, they posthumously promote you. Hmm. So you were E4, you're going to get buried as an E5.
Yeah.
If you were an E6, you're going to get buried as an E7. If they can do that, they'll do it. My shit was like, yo, this could have been my son-in-law. I'm promoting you right now. And I did it without even thinking about it. I just kind of said it. And then I told Cass one day, I was like, yeah, that's what we do in the Army. And she's like, oh, shit. And so it's just been weird how shit kind of has been connected. So we all were at this dinner. I'm going back to this shit. We'll be all over the place. The tacos, he fucking loves tacos. So he was eating. And I was joking with him. So the running joke with me and Ray was, hey, bro, when I'm gone, fucking shovel the fucking snow, right?
Right.
I'm a fucking old man. I'm tired of shoveling the snow. I got my wife and my daughter. They don't fucking touch the shovel.
Right.
So Ray was like, oh, fucking scared. So that was our running thing. And so while I was in Oklahoma, guess what had happened? Fucking snow.
Snow, yeah.
And so I get to the fucking restaurant. I look at Ray. I go, yo, I got a problem with you. He goes, oh, hey, first, before you start, He goes, there's some fucking, there's some juice or there's some tea going on around here. I go, what the fuck are you talking about? Ray doesn't talk to me a lot because I'm his fucking girlfriend's dad, right? So he's always trying to be respectful and shit. And he didn't want to fucking start with me because he knows I'll fucking go in. So he's like, all right. And I'm like, why the fuck are you talking like this? You're like really chatty. And he was like, hey, there's some tea. Joanne and Jess are going to fight. And I go, what? What the fuck are you talking about? He's just starting shit. And I go, listen, guy, I got a problem with you. I don't know about them, but I got a problem with you. I came home and there's fucking snow on my driveway. He's like, but your daughter, he goes, Cassie was there and Jess, I wasn't even staying there. And I go, I don't give a fuck anymore.
Yeah.
You've been here for 6 years. You fucking do the snow. And so that was when we just met up and we were fucking laughing. And then he's ordering all this shit and fucking tacos, shrimp taco this, fucking margarita that. And I go, when the fuck, are you going to fucking pay for all this shit? He goes, no, I'm good. I'll pay. And Cassie's like, shut up, dad. And I'm like, all right, fuck, whatever. I'm buying. So we had a great night. We were all, the owner had given us a few shots. We were just fucking hanging out. Great time. Great food. My daughter goes, hey, Wyatt, her best friend from second grade, he's now potted plant. He does drag. He'd known her since she got to Carson in 07. First day, second grade, they walked into class together, became best friends. Wow. That kid stayed with my daughter the whole time she was going through this shit with me and my son and fucking deployments, all this shit. Her and Wyatt, still best friends.
Hmm.
She said, hey, Wyatt's birthday is today. He's performing. He's doing his drag show. And I'm like, fuck it. Let's go. We're going. So we were going to go. And so we all got our shit. We went to the next place, which was Club Q. We went in there and me and my wife got there first. And we were like, well, what the fuck, man? Nobody's here. And we drove out. So we were like, all right. So we sat down. And I told her, hey, because my wife went. So the stage, if this is the stage, we were in the corner. There's like a little ramp right here to the entrance. And she went right to this corner table. And I go, babe, I don't like having my back to the fucking entrance at all. So like, what about the booth over here? She's like, it wasn't a booth. It was more like a long bench seating along a wall and tables. Like you get in restaurants, you know what I'm saying? The long bench. So I was like, well, why don't we sit over there? She's like, no. I want to be by the stage because Wyatt's performing. I want to be right there. I'd never seen this kind of shit. So I didn't know they were, you got a tip and all this other shit. So it was like, it was fucking cool. We were in there and having a great time. Performers were fucking hilarious. They're doing their thing. They were fucking having a great time. Wyatt was awesome.
Hmm.
And then there was this couple, these two dudes sitting to the right of me, and they had this fan. It was making this clacking noise. And instead of clapping, they were making this clack, 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 clack. And I kept telling my wife, I go, I want that fucking thing for the soccer game or for football. I go, I want that fucking noisemaker. I love that shit. I got drums and all this fucking shit. Because I'm in, when I get into my sports, I'm in, right?
Yeah.
So I'm like, that clacker shit, I want that.
It was pretty crowded in there.
It wasn't packed,
right.
But it was a full room.
Right.
And then the show ended. We were having a great time. We were still raining and had bought everybody a shot of jealousy. My wife has a video of us 20 minutes before this thing. Oh, all of us cheers in and just the biggest smiles you ever seen on all of us. And in the background are those two guys with the clacker. They were right there behind us. And I laughed because they actually came to visit us at the brewery. And I go, where the fuck were you guys? Because they just wanted to meet us. And I go, yeah, where were you guys at? He's like, yeah, we were on the booth on the side. I go, did you have the fan?
Yeah. You have a clacker?
He's like, yeah, that's me. I go, dude, we were talking about you the whole fucking night.
Wow.
And he's like, shit. He went into his car, pulled the fan out, gave me the fucking
fan.
Fuck
yeah.
And so now it's in the front of the brewery. When you walk in, there's this Pride fan.
Beautiful.
Because it was like, that was, it's weird how people are connected and you didn't even know it, right? Yeah. Like, I was like into this shit. Yeah. This guy's like, he got fucking shot through his fucking neck. But he's walking around and I'm like, are you fucking kidding? Every one of these people in there had a hero story. Regardless of where they're hiding, where they're fucking jumping, diving, I don't give a fuck. 19 people got shot. 5 people got killed. So you do the math. There's more than 30 rounds in that guy's magazine. So that's all I'm going to say. You don't shoot that many people with fucking 30 rounds. You don't. So, but again, I don't know the details of all this shit. I just know what they put out, which is just a picture of him walking in, which is the same visual that I had when I saw him and I took to the ground. So when I took the ground with Chip, I already had said that, you know, are you fucking kidding me? And I think that's when I went into mode. And I call it combat mode, which is because it's, at that point, you stop thinking. You're about managing the chaos. It's about managing chaos. As an officer, that's your job. As a leader.
Did your head go first to your wife or to your...
No.
No. It was just like, deal with it.
Listen, everybody could have been shot around me. I had no fucking idea. All I knew is this guy's in here still shooting. I have to stop it because if I don't, he's going to kill all of us. Right? Like, there's no more... You can't think about who's already shot because he's still shooting. So I literally, as I hit the ground, I tried to get back up and I slipped. And I don't know whether it was Chip's blood. I don't know. And I told Chip, I have no idea, but I slipped and I fell back into that booth that I was talking about that I wanted to sit at. So I hit my back and I was like, fuck. Because my back's already garbage. I'm an old man and fucking army shit didn't help. So I hit my back and I'm looking and across the room, like as you look at those two doors, mm-hmm. It was a glass door. Like any other store with a bar in the middle that goes out to the patio.
Sure.
And I saw that dude just like where that guy is right now, facing out. And he had armor on. So I said, that's the motherfucker. So I went across and I got into him. So personally, I don't remember fighting him standing up. And this video, all this shit. And apparently I was fighting him standing up. And then we ended up on the ground. And so, but Thomas James had jumped at him from the front. I got to him from the back. So Thomas got to him, and Thomas got hurt. I don't want to say how. That's up to him to talk about. But he was hurt pretty bad. I didn't know this. I didn't even know he was fighting anybody. So as we got there, it was kind of like he was starting to fight, and then I got there, and I'm trying to figure out what the fuck is going on. So we start fighting, standing up, trying to get this guy to whatever. And I'm pretty sure Thomas was just hanging on to his rifle at that point. And that's what kind of brought him down. We all kind of went down with him. It's just 6 fucking minutes. You did the boxing movies and shit. 3 minutes of fucking boxing, no joke. I'm a fat fucking guy, right? 6 minutes of fucking balls to the wall. I have to kill this dude. It was nuts, right? As we were fighting him and standing up in that doorway, it's like 3 stairs. And then my wife was in the patio. And she literally just remembered this yesterday because she met somebody that was in the patio with her. And she's like, we saw the fucking rifle, the nose of it come out. She always thought she was thinking, like she made that up in her head. But the person that was standing next to her in the patio, she had fallen and she was in the corner. They were hiding. The fucking muzzle came in and then it went away. So when Thomas fucking jumped at him, the muzzle went away and they were like, oh fuck, is it coming? They all thought they were gonna die. My wife was like, literally, she said, Rich, I think that's when I went into shock. Because I literally was praying like, oh shit, I'm gonna die right now. Like, she was going through
that. She was going in there.
I didn't know where she was at. Yeah. I knew she was dancing when I last seen her, but everybody flowed out. My daughter ended up in the back dressing room. My wife ended up in the patio. Because everybody was just trying to get the fuck out. Now, the building, you go to any bar, outside patio, how big is the fence? 4-footer, right? This club was opened 20 years ago in Colorado Springs. They made them put an 8-foot fence up.
Wow.
Well, why? Nobody wants to see the gays.
Hmm.
So there's an 8-foot fence and everybody's in this fucking patio. And I couldn't understand it until I got out the next day and I looked at it and I'm like, what the fuck? Why is there an 8-foot fence? And I asked the owner and he was like, when I put it up, that's what they needed me to do. Fuck. and I look at my patio. I got a brewery. I go. Any, they said it was so that nobody could pass beer to the next guy. I go, when the every fucking place you go to, there's a little tiny fence because you're trying to make it, you know, it, people want to hang out.
Yeah.
But nobody's passing fucking beers. It was bullshit. But that ended up being a reason people were trapped because there's an 8-foot fucking fence in the patio. So I saw everybody moving around. I saw this dude. I went over there to try to stop him. And then we ended up fighting. And we go towards the floor. And then apparently he pointed at me.
Because he pulled a handgun too, right?
He had his handgun out. And his rifle, I would still believe, was on the sling around him. But Thomas was hanging out to where we were fighting standing up. That's what I think. I don't fucking know. I was behind him. I never saw the dude's fucking face. But then, and again, remember, it's fucking dark, music playing, loud as fuck, lasers and all the strobes and all that shit going off, and I'm fucking in this fight with this dude. And then we get to the ground, and he points the fucking weapon at me, and at that point, it was either I grabbed his hand, and I laughed, because I told Jesse, I go, there's no fucking way I Jackie Chan this guy. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I didn't do that shit. There's no fucking way. I'm too stupid to do that. But it's literally, and having seen the video, it was literally like, as he pointed to me the next scene, I'm fucking swinging on him with it. So at some point, I took the fucking pistol from him. When I grabbed it, it was light. I know what a fucking pistol feels like, and it's loaded, and it was light. So I don't know if he had dropped the mag. I don't know what the fuck. I have no idea to this day. I just know it was light. So I couldn't fucking shoot him. So what do you do? This is now my helmet. I'm going to fucking beat you with it. It was funny because in the video, I actually stop and I fucking pull my pants up because my pants are falling down because I'm like, I'm fucking been fighting for fucking 3 minutes, right? Yeah. Then I go back down on him and I pin him to the floor. Thomas is at his head and I'm telling Thomas, fucking kick him, kick him. I'm yelling to people while I'm just fucking beating on him with the pistol in the back of his head. Fucking call 911, call 911. Thomas, keep fucking kicking him. I'm going to fucking kill you. I'm going to fucking kill you. I'm motivating. So I watched Chris Hemsworth, his fucking show on the Discovery Channel. I just watched it the other day. He was trying to get hyped up to go over the little bridge. It was about stress, right? Just how do you handle stress? The doc was talking about self-motivation talk, like telling yourself you got to do it. I'm like, and I looked at my wife, I go, that's what the fuck I was doing. I'm like, I'm telling this guy I'm going to kill him because I got to keep myself to fucking keep doing it. I'm telling Thomas to keep kicking him because I need to get him motivated to do it. I'm telling people to call 911 because I still need somebody else to come fucking do this. I can't do this the rest of my life. I can't keep doing this. And then as we're fighting, Thomas slows down and I knew he was hurt. I just didn't know how. And I had told him, move the fucking rifle. But the rifle stayed like almost within arm's reach. So that's why I still think it was like on his sling and maybe he had pulled it up. But it was still like Thomas is kicking his head and to his right. Like if he would have been able to reach over to it, there's the fucking AR. So it was still sitting right there the whole time. He had grabbed a magazine at one point. I threw the fucking magazine out of his hand. And I kept fucking hitting him. And then Thomas was slowing down. And I go, fuck. Somebody help kick this guy. Somebody kept. And as that was happening, I think her name's Drea. But this trans woman was walking by. And I apologized to her because I'm like, dude, I didn't know. I saw glitter fucking high heels going to this dude's face. And I was like, maybe it was a drag performer. I didn't fucking know. Right. So I had apologized to her. All that's good. But she's a trans woman. She's just there hanging out, having a good time. She was running by, and she heard me say, fucking help me kick this dude. Help me kick this dude. And in the video, she leaves, and then she comes back like, oh, shit, did this guy just tell me to help him? And then she goes in and just starts fucking while Thomas is trying to gain that strength.
Big-ass sparkly high heel.
Fuck, dude, that's what it was in his mugshot. You see the fucking heels on his face, right? Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, but I asked somebody to do something inhuman. That's not easy to live with. Because, I mean, and Drea did it. But damn, dude, like, you don't go through your life going, oh, today I'm going to go kick some dude right in his fucking face. I'm going to kick a dude in his head for 6 fucking minutes. I'm going to beat a dude in the back of his head till it fucking opens up. Like, I'm in there, and I fucking keep visualizing, as I'm saying I'm going to fucking kill you. It was like I'm the Hannibal scene, when he was fucking slicing away, just fucking blood squirting all over the fucking place. I thought I'd fucking kill. He was still fighting me, man. Like, fucking, he's trying to get up. He was trying to get to his fucking weapons the whole fucking time. Dude's a big dude. And I'm a fucking big dude. This dude's a big dude. He finally stopped as the cops came in. He stopped moving. And I thought it fucking killed him. I thought it fucking killed him. So as soon as the cops came in, I saw the fucking lights. And I go, yo, this is the fuck. I put my hands up. I thought I was going to get shot. So I put my fucking hands up. I threw the weapon down. And I said, yo, this guy, get the fucking AR, get the fucking AR. I didn't know if he was going to still, because I was off of him. I wasn't on top of him. So the cops took over him. I in the video, I lean over the fucking, I was smoked. It was 6 minutes of fucking hell. Smoked. But then I went, oh shit, my family. So I went back to where we were seated. And on the floor was Joanne with 5 holes in her and Chip with 2 holes in him. I still hadn't seen my wife and kid. But at the seated table, there was only 2 people. Joanne's laying on the floor, 5 holes in her. And I looked at her in her eyes and I went, fuck, Joanne, stay with me. Stay with me. And I'm talking to her like, it was the worst thing I'd ever gone through, because this is somebody I truly, truly have spent since 07. They're just best friends. We watched them have kids. That they didn't have any kids when we met them. They have 2 babies now, you know, like, and they're 9 and fucking 3 or 4. They're a whole family. We watched them go from newlyweds to what they are now. She's a manager at a bank, you know, and he works for the city. So I'm like, it's a great couple. They're just good people. The one couple that me and my wife are like, oh shit, we can get along, both of us. Everything's cool, right? Yeah, yeah. And that's hard to find. And we're all into beer, and they help us out at the brewery and shit. This really close. I mean, we buy their kids Christmas presents like they're our kids, right? She's on the floor and he's literally next to her and he can't fucking move because he's shot. What I didn't know, and he told me later, is he was trying to put pressure on her the whole time. And when I got to her, he goes, Rich, I can't do it anymore, because he was fucking shot and he can't hold. So he knew she had got shot in her ribs and it went through around her lung. I saw her arm, I thought she was going to lose it. She got shot twice here and twice in her leg, and then shrapnel fucking everywhere. But twice in her leg, twice in her arm, and once the chest. When I got to her, I was like, what the? And I'm fucking like, Joanne, stay with me. And then she's trying to look at Chip, but that's where her arm was, and it was fucking mangled. Like, and I'm like, fuck, man. So I'm pulling her head away so she wouldn't see it and go into more shock. She was already in shock. I knew that. But if her heart rate goes any higher, it's going to just fucking bleed out. So then a cop showed up and I'm like, put a fucking tourniquet on her arm. Put a fucking tourniquet on her arm. And I'm fucking, Joanne, stay with me. Stay with me. I'm fucking moving her head. And then Chip was like, Rich. And he had his hand out because I told this other guy to put a tourniquet on her leg. So the same, and all these cops, everybody's running around. But I had a cop putting a tourniquet on her arm. I told him to put one on each of her legs. And then I had him put one on Chip. And then I said, put another one on her fucking arm. And when he was starting to do that is when Chip was like, Rich, and because they were about to put his tourniquet on and he had his hand out reaching for Joanne, and Joanne kept saying Chip's name. And I'm like, fuck. So I put her hand in his hand. I said, Joanne, your hand is in his hand. He's got you. I'm looking at her, and both me and Chip had seen her fade, come back, fade. She was just in and out. And we thought we were going to lose her. So I was like, that's my last moment. He's reaching for her and she can't move her fucking arm. So, and then I said, well, maybe if I'll tell her. I put your hand in his hand. He is holding your hand right now. Then they put the tourniquet on him, and I never seen a dude in that much pain, because he folded like a chair, like just pain. Because they tightened that ding down, and it was his whole leg was mangled. It went in and out, and just fucking mangled. And when they tightened it down, never seen someone in that much pain. Joanne was in shock. He was not in shock. He was taking care of her, and then all of a sudden, fucking boom, he felt pain. So I was like, fuck. And then I'm telling Joanne, stay with me, stay with me. And then I get fucking tackled and arrested. I'm doing first aid. I'm dealing with cops this whole fucking time. And I get arrested and tackled like a fucking piece of shit, because I'm apparently a shooter after I'm helping save people. After I gave you the fucking asshole. So I haven't talked to anybody about this stuff. So there was a whole thing of that. And they dragged me out of there. Fucking like a, like, you know, you hog tied. I got dragged out. I got dragged out.
No eyes on your
wife. No. As I'm being tackled, my face is in the fucking floor. I saw my daughter pop out of the back curtain, just her face. She told me later that she tried to hug me and the cops were fucking pushing her off of her. I don't know about this whole scene, but I saw my wife walk across like a zombie. She was in so much shock. She just like floated by. Then they fucking dragged me out of there. And as I'm yelling at them, hey, fuck, I'm not the fucking asshole. People outside think I'm the fucking shooter because I'm getting dragged out on my belly with my fucking arms and legs shackled up. And I'm like, and they're fucking spitting at me, fucking cursing me because they think I'm the fucking shooter. And they put me in the car for now.
Are you fighting the cops?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm fucking, adrenaline is in. And I'm like, why the fuck? I gave the 2 cops that came in the fucking guy.
Right.
I told 3 or 4 cops to put tourniquets. But I also told a lot of cops, fucking move, asshole. You're walking.
Yeah.
So here's where I go back to, you've been shot at before. You're managing chaos. You can fucking, hey, everything's out the window. You need to start helping people. Yeah. Go, 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 go.
Yeah, yeah.
These guys were like, what the fuck is going on in here? That was the second wave of cops. And I'm like, yo, fucking wake up. Run. Move. Urgency. Let's go. Right. Get on a fucking body. Right. Get a body out of here.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Couldn't get it through my head. Like, you know, how, and then I'm out there fucking cussing. I'm cussing these fuckers out because I still hadn't seen my, I hadn't held my wife and daughter. I didn't know Joanne was dead. I didn't know if Chip was dead. I had no fucking idea. And I'm in the back of this car screaming like out of the fucking top of my lungs, like, what the fuck's going on? So they finally fucking released me about an hour later, but then they took me downtown. So I was downtown all night, but I made them take my daughter and my wife to the hospital because my daughter fucking broke her knee trying to escape. So I made them drop her off, and then I went to the fucking police station, and I get fucking go through the whole shit, pictures of everything and blood and all that bullshit. Then I end up in prison pants and fucking flip-flops because they took all my shit. So there's, it's, what's funny is there's a Marvel, I was wearing jeans and I had sewed in COVID. I learned how to sew, right? I sew like shit, but I learned how to sew, right? So I had these patches, these Marvel patches on these fucking jeans that are in, they're in fucking custody right now. Where the fuck they're at, covered in blood. There's this fucking, every Marvel character with the fucking little A in the middle. And I'm like, yo, man, I was wearing Avengers shit while I fucking did all this crap, dude. So it's in custody, and I was in my shoes and all that shit. And I'm like, fuck, that's so fucking weird.
You still don't have those?
No, that's still, they still gotta get all my shit. I don't have my clothes, man. Dude. I ain't got my pants, I ain't got my shirt. I'm like, that's fine, you know? It's whatever the fuck they need to do with it. But I just thought it was fucking hilarious. I made them take me back to the hospital. They're walking me through the back of the hospital to go in, the community service folks or whoever they were, the victim advocate folks. They're good folks. In the victim advocacy program, I don't know if they have it here in California, but the guys in El Paso County, yeah. Amazing. Uh-huh. Those ladies did shit for us. Like, I needed a wheelchair for Cass. They're like, here you go. Here's your wheelchair. Send us the fucking bills. Like, they were taking care of everything. And so, I mean, really, really beautiful thing. You never know it even exists until you're in this kind of situation. And I was so happy that did. And just to know that because Chip and Joanne had their own advocate. Everybody had an advocate. And I was like, it's just one of those things you never knew existed. And when you find out about it, it's freaking amazing. But yeah, I go back and I'm in this prison. I still look like the fucking shooter. I'm wearing prison shit. I'm walking through the hospital where everybody's that got shot is in. And they took me back to my wife and my daughter, and Chip's in there in the gurney. He's laid out. And I just looked at his face, and he was still like, he hadn't seen Joanne. He still didn't know she was alive, nothing. But he was covered in shrapnel. And I'm like, fuck, man. And I go, you good? And he's like, yeah. He goes, I got shot in my knees. And he's like, but I'm where's Joanne? Like, he was focused on Joanne. And I looked at him and said, listen, dude, we made it. You're now my battle buddy. We're going to combat together. She's going to make it. And then I hugged my wife and kid, and I said, get me the fuck out of here. I need to get this blood off me. I still had fucking blood in my ears, all this shit. I needed to get the fucking blood off me. So I went home, showered, and that's when it kind of hit me. I was like, fuck, the adrenaline's starting to like, I can recognize adrenaline, right? I'm still hyped up. So I texted my wife. I said, listen, I can't drive right now. There's no way, fuck, I'm driving back to the hospital. Because the cops are dropping me off at the house. And so I took the shower. I looked at my dog. And it's the same shit, Pit, man. So he's I'm like, all right, man, we're good. Calm down. And he's the same thing, just sleeps like that all day. I was dying, and I'm like, what the fuck? So I made a pot of coffee. And I just watched the coffee go, and it calmed me down enough to get back in the car and drive and go back to the hospital. So I was there with Cass and Jess, and Cass finally goes, I'm calling Raymond's mom. I'm like, fuck. And me and Jess were like, we'll call her. It's okay. And she's like, no, I need to call his mom. So Cassie, in the fucking, because she was still looking for him. We didn't know where he was. We had not seen him the entire time. She calls his mom and says, hey, he was with us last night. We don't know where he is. We're trying to find him. And I told her, hey, I told the cops when I was being interrogated or questioned or whatever the fuck. I told the cops what he looked like, that he's there. We can't find him. Find him. But there was always tidbits of, oh, I think I saw him. Oh, I think I saw him. Just different cops and different things. So it just kept that little hope alive for us. It had been horrible for her. It was horrible for Cass. We got out about noon, and she made me drive back the route so we ended up back at Club Q and driving the route where he would have walked to our house. because she wanted to make sure that he wasn't somewhere walking on the road. And when I did that, I was in my head, in the Army, you learn really quick. The longer you go without hearing about anybody's injuries, then probably gone. And I was going through my head, how am I going to deal with this with my daughter? I had told him on that route, I'd stopped him and said, listen, we are now in a totally different place. You guys are going to feel things you've never felt before. You're going to have anger for no freaking reason. We're going to say shit to each other. It's going to piss each other off. But we all went through this together. So we are all we got. And Chip and Joanne and the five of us now, which was six, the five of us now are, that's it. We need to we got to get through this. So we get to the house, and then I finally was able to, so when I went home the first time to shower, it was still not, it wasn't closure. When I got my wife and daughter in the house, and I sat her down, and my wife is on the other couch, and they were still shook up, I went right upstairs, and I just fucking lost it. Because I got them home. And I knew, and I literally texted my brother, I go, I'm going to have to tell Cass that he's gone. Ray's probably gone. And she was still calling places, looking for the police stations and fucking hospitals. My son was doing that from here. We're still looking. And then when Ray's mom called, it was like 4 that afternoon. And all I heard was that guttural scream. I mean, it's nobody wants to hear it, man. But like when somebody's taken away from you, not through natural causes or not through a disease or something that lets you kind of come to that realization it's going to happen, it's a scream you can't get out of your head. And as soon as I heard that, I looked over at Cassie, he's gone. Because I didn't want my wife to say it. Because she was really close with Ray, too.
Yeah.
And when I told her, she just, no, Dad, no, Dad. And it just, I'd never seen my daughter in that much pain, right? She still had a broken knee. Just for fucking. And I'm like, she gave two shits. She was just in pain. That there's no way that Ray's gone. So their last night together, she was dancing with him. They were hugging, kissing. They were with me and my wife, their friends, family, Chip and Joanne. Yeah. He's a gamer, so he was doing his game. He's like Rambo, some shit. And we always made fun of him because Chip's a gamer too. So they would play on their fucking, whatever the hell it is, Nintendo, whatever. I don't know what it's called. Call of Duty shit. So they would play all that crap. So I'd always tease Raymond about being Rambo and shit. And Chip had built this relationship with him. They were pretty close because they were always on the fucking thing. You know, they do little fucking games or whatever the fuck. I don't know how this shit works. I'm not a.
Me neither.
I'm an old man. But they had kind of bonded through that, and so everybody was like, "He's fucking gone," you know. And that I think that was the hardest part, out of all of it, was knowing that it's not about the last moments with him, because for my daughter, they were probably the best moments you can have to say goodbye to somebody. You didn't say goodbye, but if I had to choose, that's how I would like to go. Like, the last thing you did was hug me, kiss me, had some shots, we were all hugging, having a great time, dancing, and then I just went away, you know? My daughter had a dream in December, just before we came out here to San Diego, LA for the holidays, and she had posted this thing, and it was fucking, it broke my heart, but she was like, I had a dream that Ray came back to me last night. And we're Latinos. So Dia de los Muertos, all that shit, it's a thing. We had just done our Dia de los Muertos event. And the psychic fucks had told my daughter, you know, I seen you have your grandfathers with you. They're protecting you. And then my cousin had said that about 2 years before when my daughter was in the hospital. She was real sick. And I'm like, damn, maybe there's something to that, right? How the hell did we not get shot?
Yeah.
She had a dream that Ray came back to her and he told her. And this is, I think this is, you know, all that he told her in this dream that he had just, it felt like he went to sleep. And he told her not to worry about it. Like, he's, you know, it's one of those things, like, with your kid, to know that she's got to deal with it. She's 22, man. She's, like, it's still a kid. You know, when I was 22, I couldn't fucking deal with this. And I looked at her, I said, Cass, if I would have lost Jess at 22, I don't know what the fuck I would have done with myself. There's no fucking way. I know I wouldn't have been like you. Because she spoke at the funeral, beautiful. She's been strong for me. At that fucking news conference, she's the one that told me to shut up, you're done. You know, like she's making sure I'm not doing too much. My wife's doing the same thing, and they're both going to the brewery trying to still work. Like, there's six of us in this fucking brewery, and three of us were in this shooting.
Holy shit, yeah.
So everybody ordered all this shit, and I'm like, yo, it's the holidays. I don't give a shit about anything but trying to get my daughter to smile. That Charger thing, it wasn't about like, oh, fuck, I'm going to go hang out with the Chargers. my daughter was just lit up. And for that fucking half hour, whatever it was, she was not in a bad place. And I, because I got done with the line of the charter shaking all their hands, and I turned around and I saw her face, and I was like, I was just happy, you know? And you can't ask for anything else right now. It's just those moments. You're just looking for something where she's not thinking about it. Because she's got a long road to go, man. Everything's going to be about, it could have been this, it could have been that. Her, my sister-in-law just got engaged. My daughter's best friend, she's the same age, about a year older. Real Mexican family, so the tia is a year older than the niece. But anyway, Lizzie and Cass are about a year apart. She just got engaged, and when Cassie found out, my wife's over the moon. They same thing. They had been through high school together, and he just decided to propose, and he was bringing the family down to LA because they live in Long Beach to do this. And Cassie came down. Well, my wife went upstairs to tell Cass because she was excited. Then she came down, and I go, where's Cass? She's like, no, she's still half asleep. She didn't even understand what I was saying. And it clicked for me. I'm like, fuck.
Yeah.
Like, she can't even be happy
yeah.
for her best, you know, her best person in the world, her girlfriend, you know, her cousin, her aunt.
Yeah.
Because she's thinking of, well, that could have been me.
But she lost.
Right. Yeah. You know, and listen, She's better than me because I would have been like, fuck no, I ain't going to this shit. She you know, she powers through it. And she's like her mom, man. They both are the strongest people I've ever met.
Mm.
And I can't in any way, I'm trying really hard to like protect them from shit. But they're like, no, I'm doing it. I'm going here. I'm going to go do this. They are, I mean, they're both brewers now, right? Like my daughter's been brewing with my wife since she was 7.
Yeah.
Like this is man shit. And they're like, fuck it, we're doing it, you know? And she opened a brewery, you know? And I'm just blown away with their strength. And then they're like, but they're like, dad, you know, you did something. I'm like, I don't fucking care. You guys are here. We're here right now. It's all that mattered to me. I didn't give a shit about anything else. And that's why I said it was like, everybody in there was my family at the time because I didn't know who was shot. I didn't know anything. I only knew I had to stop whatever the fuck was the threat. And that was the guy at that time. And Joshua helped, or no, Thomas did his part. Drea did her part, and everybody in that room did their part. Chip kept Joanne alive. I looked at Chip and I said, yo, you were laying there with bullets in your knees, can't walk, can't move, in the middle of the fucking dance floor, and you didn't know this fucking guy was coming back. Meanwhile, you're trying to keep your wife alive, not knowing, dude, this guy's just going to come put a fucking hole in my head. That to me is heroic shit.
Yeah.
Joshua dragging my daughter into the back room, heroic shit. I didn't do anything different than that. You know what I'm saying? Everything that these people did in there to stay alive. I mean, there's stories that are like, as we meet people, it's just, it blows our mind. Pulse, the fucking guy was in there for 3 hours.
Yeah.
Killed I don't know how many people, right? 3 hours. I mean, this dude was only standing for fucking 2-3 minutes.
How, if at all, has this like shifted your attitude towards these kinds of things that happen?
So, I mean, honestly, it has. Look, You can't prevent it. The only thing I could really come up with was, you know, hey, just be nice to people. I remember going with my dad when I was a kid to the store, and I used to hate it because when my mom would go to the store, we'd get the shit we needed and we'd leave.
Mm-hmm.
When my dad, he was going to talk to everybody in that fucking store, and it took us an hour and a half to get a fucking carton of eggs or whatever the hell he went to go get.
Yeah.
But I end up doing the same thing now. So I talk to people I don't know. I was talking to your guy, Chase, coming here the whole fucking time.
Yeah, don't do like, that too much.
Bro. But I mean, he's like, I just met this guy. Why is he fucking talking? Like, I'm like, I'm talking the whole way. I've just met you and I'm fucking spilling my guts. The Army kind of taught me how to live with everybody and everything, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And I said it in that press conference. I was like, yo, man, the Army got over. What the fuck's everybody's problem? Nobody's hurting anybody if they love their fucking dude or girl or fucking 6 girls. I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
I mean, there's dudes with, you know, fucking 9-10 girlfriends at the same time. Nobody fucking crying about that.
Right.
And you know, he's hurting all these girls. And I'm like, so what the fuck's the problem?
Yeah.
Nobody's hurting you.
Yeah.
But the only thing I can think of is, yo, man, if that guy was at a Walmart that day and somebody said, hey, man, what's up? How you doing?
Yeah.
Maybe he would have been like, oh, fuck, somebody gave a shit about me today.
Well, that's
I don't fucking know.
So you go to a place, I mean, like, let me ask you, I mean, have you like, thought about, have you thought about that guy specifically?
No.
Have you thought about like what his
don't talk about him? Don't give a shit about him.
Don't give a shit.
Don't give a shit. I saw this shit with his dad, and I'm fuck. I don't shit nothing.
Yeah,
I'm not talking about him. I want nothing to do with that piece of shit. Yeah. I'm going to see him in court.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah. I hope every day of his life, he's a fucking nightmare. I hope every time he puts his head back and he feels pain because he's got fucking a giant hole in the back of his head or whatever the fuck they did to fix him.
Yeah.
I hope he feels it every fucking night.
Yeah.
I hope somebody's in his shit every night.
Yeah.
I hope he gets his ass beat every night. Yeah. I don't care.
Yeah.
Do I want him dead? Probably not, because that's the easy way out.
Straight up.
That's probably what I think he was trying to do at the end.
Yeah.
But he ended up living.
Yeah.
Just look at his face now. He ain't a fucking happy camper.
Yeah, I mean, the only reason I asked is just the first place you went to is you said if somebody saw him in a Walmart and said, like, hey, man, how you doing? Maybe this would have never happened.
But that's literally the only thing I can think of, right? Because I honestly worked with guns my whole fucking career. My wife, I trained her with concealed carry. I don't fucking care. If you are able to manage your guns, cool, right? That's fine. But there's no reason for you to be fucking shooting up a club.
Yeah.
There's no, that has nothing to do with the gun. It has everything to do with this fucking mindset. Mm-hmm. And I don't understand why people are so pissed off. Mm-hmm. I'm pissed off because I'm worried about a threat. I don't give a shit about what people think or do. It doesn't hurt me. Yeah. How is it hurting me? How do I give a shit about what this other person doing in their house?
Right.
I thought the whole point of this freedom shit and why we went to war,
that's right,
was for you to do whatever the fuck you want.
Yeah.
Right? Because in other countries, you can't.
Can't do that shit. That's right.
So I've still never gotten over that whole, and that's what really bothers me about a lot of shit. It was funny because I met a padre, a priest. I'm a Catholic when I grew up Catholic. But I'm not a religious guy anymore. And I literally looked at the priest and I'm like, hey, padre, how you doing? He's like, you good? You need it? And I'm like, listen, I haven't been in organized religion since 2003. Because I saw, to me, what organized religion did to a whole group of people that decided it was time to fuck us up, right? And it wasn't because, when you're in prayer, you're on your knees, you're in your weakest moment, you're begging for somebody to help you. And then there's some dude going, hey, this is what you need to think. This is what you need to do. Imam or priest or whatever. I can't deal with that. I believe there's a God, me personally. I don't give a shit if anybody around me does or not. But I'm grounded in my values, man. The Army issued us values, which is really fucking weird because they matched what I grew up with my parents. But they issued you values. And I'm like, who the fuck, why are you going to issue us values? We all got the same values. Well, that gives us all the same commonality, right? Personal courage, integrity, honor, respect. All this shit that comes with just being a man or a woman in this world. And in our American society, right? Respect other people. Have some fucking integrity. Have some fucking integrity. If you're running around and you have these fucking plotting and everybody's fucking after you, fuck, what are you fucking doing? Go figure it out, man. Have some respect for yourself. Don't blame people for shit. I could have been, I had a kid at 16. I should have been blaming the world. Fuck me, man. I'm never going to make it. I'm going to be a fucking carpenter the rest of my life. Fuck, I didn't blame nobody. I didn't blame nobody for the fucking contact I was in downrange. I didn't blame nobody for this shit. It happens. You have to learn how on the new path. And honestly, I think this is all from the docs and shit, because I'll be honest, 10 years ago, I've been like, fuck that, I'm taking everybody out. but like, you're on this new path, and you gotta come to terms with it. You gotta come to terms with it. And everybody has those moments, man. Dad left me when I was fucking 5, and it fucked me all up. Okay. But now that you've gotten through it, what's that path look like? You know, you've had shit that happens to you. For me, I didn't, everybody's like, why didn't you retire? I'm like, I fucking retired because if I kept going down deployments, I probably would have lost my family. I was broke. I wasn't good enough to stay there at that time. I'm fucking good. I'm out. And then I'm like, who the fuck else is doing 20 years anywhere? Hey, nobody had a 20-year career. I go, you fucking kids are doing 4-3 years and then you're moving on to being a fucking painter or whatever the fuck, These kids nowadays do shit, every 2 years they're changing their careers. That's great. That's awesome, man. We didn't have that luxury when we were kids. Our parents told us, get a city job and that's what the fuck you're going to do for 25, 30 mm-hmm. years. Retire and get your little $1,000 check at the end. Mm-hmm. That's what you're going to get. That's your life. And then I look back and my doc literally goes, hey, you just described it last week. That's a lot of, you guys are living your life story is fucking wild. I go, I know. And we don't even think about it. Me and my wife, I told her, I go, look, we spent 5 years in Europe. What the fuck were we doing in Europe?
Right.
I've gone to fucking war 4 times. This fucking 9/11 actually impacted our family. Everybody else in this country, they blew it off. They don't even remember it anymore, right?
They got to take their shoes off when they go.
Never forget, they don't give a shit.
Yeah.
Because their country was fucking united. And now we're just back to fucking, everybody's on another team. And I'm like, what the fuck, dude? these guys attacked us, and now we got to wait for that to again to happen for us to get our shit together?
Yeah.
Because when Pearl Harbor happened, we went to war for fucking 4 years. That was it. You came home, it was done, and guess what? Those World War II guys never said shit else. They fucking went to work. They didn't give a shit. We didn't have no fucking problems. I'm happy.
Yeah.
It's as happy as I've been in my life, and I would have thought it was while I was in and doing all this crazy shit. Nah, man. I'm happy because I'm with my family. They're good right now. And if I go tomorrow, I'm happy, right? So that's the solace you got to take in life, man. You can't fucking blame people for your shitty circumstances. Change them.
Now these things are popping off all the time. And I think like everyone in this room, I think everybody now goes to a movie theater, is in a big festival, and they and in the back of their mind at some point in the day, like, huh. And what a horrible thing. Like, you've been in it. Like,
so, seen, so that's and, the and thing, I, is that what, was already my problem, right?
Tell
so
me.
That, like I said, when I walked in, I'm like, "Yo, we need to sit over here."
Yeah.
And my wife's trying to break me about that. But
was
shit.
It was it something you saw where you no, literally like I there
just,
could be
I'm
something.
Not comfortable when right. I have my back to the door. Just it, because I don't know what the fuck's happening behind me. That has everything to do with always being queued up, right? So now that we went through this, my daughter sits there, loud noise. She's plugging her ears.
Yeah.
We went with at the Charger game. They, dude, I know they had the cannon. I'm fucking that. I'm an artilleryman. I'm like, yo, that's. The shit, that's why I love the Chargers, right? Boom, boom, every time. That fucking thing went off, and all three of us almost hit the ground.
Mm.
And I'm like, dude, this is just, it's like, and those are the moments for me, like, even in the good times, there's like that, oh, shit.
Is there anything in that moment that connects you to your wife and your daughter? Like, is there anything about, like, what you said, and forgive me if this is, like, stupid way of looking at it or a perverse way of looking, but you said, like, you know, with your buddy, you know, you said, you know, now you're my battle buddy.
Yeah.
You know, like, is there something now, you know, what your daughter specifically went through is like unspeakable, losing that hope, losing that man. I mean, that's it. You know, you lost a son-in-law, but like, you know, she lost the love of her life. And,
it's about the possibilities, right?
Yeah. But does that bond you? Does that bind you guys in a way?
So I got battle buddy. Like, I called my boss, Pat Stevenson. I called him before any of this came out. And I said, yo, boss, I just did some fucked up shit. He's like, what are you talking about? He's like, I got back in mode, man. And he's like, the fuck are you talking about? I go, the shooting. He's like, I ain't heard nothing about it. What are you talking about? I go, we were just in it, and I laid it out for him. He's like, fuck, man. And I go, sir, the only thing that came to my mind was when you were like, yo, I'm not calling Jess. And then I'm like, oh, shit. That's a thing, and now my daughter and wife have to live with that. I lost the guy, but I still have them. And for the rest of their lives, they're going to be like, somebody tried to kill me and my family. I didn't have that. It was just me. So, like, you're downrange. It's you with your battle buddies. Cool. But they're your battle buddies. They're not your fucking daughter and your wife. They're not your best friends.
At a nightclub when you had tacos and drinking. You're fucking
hanging out. And that's what was different for me this time. It's like, dude, this is personal. Like, it's too personal. We have to plan our shit. We're like, dude, when the DA releases the video, what the fuck are we doing then? Like, it starts all over. Look, nobody's seen, like, the kid in Monterey Park. That was amazing what he did. Amazing. And when I heard his, he did an interview, and I heard him talk about, because everybody asked the same question. What went off in your head to go stop him? Nothing. He said the same thing I did. Nothing. I just knew I had to do something. There's people in the world that still do that. And that's what my point is. Like, everybody just be nice. Because there's people out there that give a shit. You know? You're not on your own. Yeah. Get your fucking head out of the computer. And maybe you'll see some people that give a shit about you you've never met before.
That's right.
And so when that kid said that, I was like, I felt like it resonated with me. That totally different circumstances. Totally different circumstances. His video is released because it wasn't a shooting. It was a guy that came up to him with a gun. Right? That could happen to you out here going to get a coffee.
Sure.
That video is coming out, and I've talked to Matt, the owner. And he's got 27 angles of this shit.
Right.
From when the dude pulls up to when the last person leaves the building is documented. You know how fucked up that is for my kid to know that Raymond's death's on fucking video and that some sick fuck is going to use that against her at some point in her life? That's the debate we've been having since this thing is, do we see the video or do we not? I'm one that I'm averse to it. I'm not a person like,
I know what I can handle, and for right now, not a thing I want to see. Now, the other shit, the me fighting this guy, the other shit, I can deal with that. I don't want to see. I've seen enough bodies and things done to human bodies that I don't want to. If I don't have to, I'm not going to see it. I'm not a guy that, oh, let me go watch Faces of Death. You know, when we were kids, everybody was all into that shit. I'm like, yo, when you see it happen, your fucking mind, it is the worst thing you can ever see. I don't give a shit who you are. You can be Ranger, whoever, and you fucking kill dudes all the time. Every single time it means something. And it's totally different. And you're always looking at it like, fuck, that guy's dead. Because you have no feeling to it. It is literally process.
That's right.
And that's not how humans work.
Because now the battle was taken into your comfort zone. It was taken
in the backyard. Yeah.
How are you now? Like, are you ever going to be able to fully chill the fuck out somewhere? Are you ever going to?
I don't know.
And what are you going to do? Like, how do you feel about now? Like, how much is this shit on the back of your mind when you go to a restaurant, when you go to a movie?
All the time. And it's more, so this the weird part about it is, it was always about me and how is dad going to react to this situation. And now I'm doing the same thing they used to do with me.
For them.
And I'm like, how are they going to? We went to Buffalo Wild Wings. And it's a new one over in the Springs. There's a new one that we'd never been to before. And it's open, fucking, like, it's just a giant fucking room. There's no, like, barriers and shit. There's no breaking it up. It's just a giant room of fucking people. And I sat down, and the lady tried to put us in the middle. And I said, no. You got to put me on the booth. I got to be at least on the side of the wall or whatever. So I sit down, and then my daughter and wife come over. And they're like, what the fuck? And I'm like, I know. You guys going to be all right with this? Because you look around, and nobody is thinking about it, right? Because... Right. Why the fuck should you?
Right.
But the first thing my wife and daughter are like, somebody comes in here, fucking everybody's dead. Like, and I'm like, how do you live the rest of your life like that? Right. And they weren't trained for this shit. They didn't volunteer for this shit. Right? And the combat shit happened over there. There's a way to kind of manage the shit that comes with that because it's not in your backyard. I think that's helped me kind of understand this a little bit better. And be able to manage my own thought process. Like I said, when I got pissed off at the laundry, I didn't go downstairs and start going off with my wife.
Right.
I fucking caught myself. And my doc was like, well, you need to kind of expand on that a little bit more. And even with your wife and daughter, because my daughter literally now knows when I'm getting spun up, she'll stop me and be like, Dad, drink a glass of water. I'm like, what are you fucking talking about? Good. No, you need to drink a glass of water. My daughter recognizes when I'm getting fucking spun up.
Yeah.
My wife does too. And she constantly, you know, hit my leg like, hey, stop. It's too much.
Yeah.
Because I don't have that stop button, that internal, okay, that's, you're going too far. It's too raw for people. It's too much. Or hey, dude, your paranoia or whatever the fuck's wrong with you doesn't need to be inflicted on anybody around you.
Yeah.
But I have people that have been helping me with that. I'm trying to learn how to help them.
For sure.
And it's hard because they've dealt with it with me, but they've never dealt with it themselves. And her sister had called her, my wife, and she's like, how you guys doing? And she's like, I don't know. She's like, you know, I'm used to dealing with this shit with Rich, but now I'm trying to deal with me, and I'm trying to deal with Cass, and I'm still trying to deal with him. And I'm like, and I'm just listening to her because I'm like, you know, everybody processes shit different, man. Yeah. I still go to places where there's crowds. I went to a fucking Charger game. Like, I'm good. My daughter had issue, but because they had put us in that box, she wasn't packed in with a bunch of people, so she felt okay. She still has a problem with crowds, loud noises.
Yeah.
My wife, I think she hides more than she's, you know, got out there. She'll brave anything right now because she's, I mean, she's, listen, any mom, I'm sorry, dude. They're tougher than any fucking.
Straight up.
Dude, I don't care what you do. Like, yeah. She's that's a tough lady right there, and she's putting a lot of her shit down, and we talk about it. The first time we got a chance to talk, both of us one on one, was a month after this thing to actually talk about what we went through, when we went to the fucking Drew Barrymore show. We did like, oh, we're gonna go to New York, let's go fucking hang out, you know, go to a bar or something. Like, nah, fuck that. And we just sat down and video conference or video, whatever the fuck that thing's called.
Zoom,
whatever. Yeah. That shit. So I did that with Chip and Joanne because we just wanted them to know that the show went well, and my daughter, and then my son. And then we just sat down and kind of, I go, what did you go through? I had no idea what you'd gone through. It was a month.
It was December like 14th or some shit.
Yeah.
So it was about a month after. And that was the first time I heard my wife tell me what she went through.
Yeah.
And it was very spotty.
Yeah.
And I'm like, shit. Look at everybody, I got everybody paranoid. I'm like, dude, guys just coming in the door, man. Let them come in. But it's crazy. Look at
Bam Bam's on it.
Yeah. Is that Bam Bam?
Yeah.
So my dog's name is Quavarius.
Quavarius.
So like Quavo from the Migos.
Okay.
So,
okay.
So
okay.
my daughter and my son named him Quavarius. And I go, first of all, I'm not yelling that shit across the fucking like in the field, you know? And because my first dog was a boxer with them, and his name was, oh, that's my son.
What's up, bro? Thanks for coming. What's your name, bro? Nice to meet you, man.
I just smelled him right now. So he's big weed kid, man. He believed it kept him, like, it got him through a bunch of shit.
Okay.
And I'm like,
these motherfuckers don't drink water. They only smoke weed.
Yeah, no, dude. Yeah. And that's fine. And I finally got to a point where I'm able to accept that.
Yeah.
Like when I was,
you don't smoke weed.
I still have a clearance. And so he hated it. Cause I was when I was raising, who's little,
yeah.
It's like, dad, I'm fine. Like, and again, I smoked when I was a kid too.
Sure.
But I was always hiding it from my dad. He's like, fuck that. I don't care. So, because he grew up like he was by himself half the time. So he's like, why the fuck am I going to hide it from you now?
Right.
He did all that shit. And I'm like, I finally got it. Like, I finally realized like how helpful it would be. Like, because I had buddies like fucking handfuls of shit. And I'm like, dude, just fucking smoke weed.
Yeah.
And my only problem is that I'm still in it. Sorry, man. I still got a clearance, so I can't.
Yeah.
But... you know, he laid it out, and he's helped his grandfather when he was going through his cancer, and he passed, but he got him some shit, and just 90-year-old man is putting fucking weed shit on his shingles, and it made him feel good, you know. And my wife, you know, she's gotten into it to kind of level off and not be so.
Well, I think going back to what you said about just being nice to, I mean, without a doubt, all the shit. Look, I know you don't want to talk about that fucking piece of shit who did that, and I respect that, and I get it. But I imagine that he went there because of something lacking in him, some weakness, some disease in him, and some sort of hatred that he had to certain kind of people, whatever the fuck it was. But no matter what this is, there's no question right now that we are all like, oh, you smoke weed? Man, fuck, I don't like that. Oh, you want to dress a certain way? Fuck. Like, that is the fucking end. That, there's nothing less American than that. There's, right?
Listen. You know, it's like, every fucking vet, like, I'm like, what the fuck? I go to work. Yeah. I go to work at Fort Carson. Soldiers. I got this shit. I got hair long as shit.
Yeah.
Because I can.
Yeah.
Because I can.
Judge me by the content of my fucking character, right? And what I do when the chips
so,
are down.
So don't ever. And this is why. And I told. I literally it was. I was at some fucking meeting, and this lady was running for sheriff. And I looked at her, I said, you know what? If any one of your fucking deputies ever asked me if I'm a fucking American, I'm going to fucking punch him in his throat, and you're going to come get me out of jail.
That's right.
Because the fuck if some dude who never served is going to tell me I'm not an American, that I don't fucking deserve to be here. Matter of fact, fuck you. You get out.
Yeah.
You didn't serve.
Yeah.
Right? So I have that anger in me.
Sure.
But I put it aside because I'm like, you know what? If I run around like that, then I'm a fuck just a piece of shit like everybody else.
Sure.
Right?
Sure. But so, you can look at your own life and you can say, okay, my kid likes smoking weed. And instead of being like, oh, I'm against that shit, or hey, my kid.
No, but
likes
I was. But drugs. I was. I'm I the same conservative dude. I mean, the values are there. You're like, oh, I don't want my kid to do that. Fuck no, that's gonna ruin him. He's fucking 26 living in downtown, or 28. Shit, I keep fucking saying 26. He's 28.
Smokes too much weed, bro.
Yeah, living in downtown LA. And I go, I don't even know how the fuck he affords that much weed.
Yeah.
But I'm like, well, fuck, if you can afford it, well, fuck. Yeah, you know, do your thing, man. I can't afford it now.
Yeah.
But these guys do their thing, man. And it's not, who the fuck is it hurting?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's the same thing I said, you know, hey, let them do, this is what we fought for.
Yeah.
Right? If the fucking country wants to get rid of guns, fuck it. Vote for it. I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
Do whatever you want.
Yeah.
But don't fucking get pissed off at me or somebody else because we're different than you and you can't handle
good boy, man. Shh.
It's horseshit.
Yeah.
It's just been nuts. Like, and he's everybody has had their own fucking reaction to it. I couldn't imagine, like, if my dad went through some shit like this and my brother was like,
what the fuck, Rich? And I go, I don't know, man. I don't know what the fuck happened. Yeah. And the more I told the story, I was like, fuck. And then it was funny because when I went to see the video with me and Jess saw the video, and it was only just of when I was fighting with the guy. I only wanted to see it because I wanted to, like, you know how you think that you're full of shit?
Yeah.
I thought I was full of shit. I'm like, there's no fucking way this happened. Yeah. And I kept saying it was like 3 minutes and all this shit, and we were fighting. And then when he fucking showed me the beat, I'm like, God dang, you can see me get tired.
Yeah.
Like just fucking smoked. Yeah. And then I get then all of a sudden get, you know, it's just wind, it's just, it was fucking wild. And that's kind of where I'm like, I don't know. It's weird, man.
I hope that was all right, like talking.
No, I'm good. And honestly, it's just like I tell Jess I talk a lot only because I think it helps me.
Yeah, fuck yeah, good.
And then what I kept telling folks as I'm meeting them, because I met the DJ the other day and that was there, and she got shot 4 times and she got shot in the back. I just keep hearing these stories. I'm like, damn, fuck, I don't know how these kids did it. And these are kids, right? They're younger than my son.
Yeah.
And you know, they're working a fucking, you know, $15 an hour job,
right.
And it's gone.
Right.
And they ain't got no healthcare and all that kind of shit. And so I'm hoping that whoever I'm talking to, somebody out there goes, well, fuck, I'll go give to that healing fund or whatever fund, go fund me for those kids. Shit, man, these kids got bullet holes in them and they ain't got no healthcare.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm literally, I looked at Joanne, I go, you know, you're probably like $2 million just sitting here because she was in the hospital for a month and a half.
Right.
But she's got coverage for the bank. But had she not been that person who's like that long in the hospital?
Yeah.
She had surgery every other day. And I'm like, and we are still blown away because Joanne's, she's walking around. She came out the other night. We went out to where did we go? We went to, Raymond had his birthday. It was his birthday. And we all went to the memorial site. And Chip and Joanne came out. That was the first time they had gone back to Club Q in the memorial. And it's where everybody put all their flowers and shit. And Ray's mom had a birthday tacos for him and a cake. And they sang happy birthday and all that. And so we all went. And Chip and Joanna got out. And then we were like, well, fuck, let's go get some food. And then we ended up back at Westside Cantina.
Wow.
And it was weird because all of us got there. So it was, and we all went, because we told them, because Cassie was bringing her friends that had gone to the thing. So we're like, yeah, there's like 12, 15 people. So they put us at the same table we were at that night because it was 6 of us. And so we all sat down in the same fucking spots. And Chip and Joe looked at us and we all looked at each other like, because there was one empty chair. Mm. And then we were like, but then we were still also having a good time. And it was one of those moments where we were like, it came full circle, but we went in reverse. We started at the club and went back to the dinner. And then we all went back to the house and we kind of, you know, celebrated Ray because it was his birthday, and Cassie, you know, wanted her friends around her. She's 22, man. She don't want to talk to mom and dad about all this shit. She wants to talk to her girlfriends and her buddies and shit. So all her friends came over. They're taking care of her. But they were all, you know, they all knew Ray, and so it's tough. And they knew, everybody knows Ray and Cass is what it is. It's like they were a thing forever, and so the kids all are like, what the fuck, you know? How's Cass doing? And Ray's mom, you know, God bless her, man. I don't know how she's dealing with, she's lost her kid. I couldn't imagine that. So that's why I'm like, hey, if I can get 4 people to send $20 or $5 or $1, I don't give a shit. Then that's what it's about. Yeah.
Bro, I appreciate this, man.
No, really, I appreciate you having me out, honestly. Dude, there's beer in a fucking, in some fucking airplane right now.
Fucking
that, and we should have been like, and it would have been nice to have our beers because they're 16 ounces. My wife fucking packed them, everything. And I had a fucking shirt for you, but he's taking me back. And he'll bring it back to you. You got to put the shit on. Enjoy the beer. Realize my wife made it and my daughter.
Fucking A.
And all the rest of the girls are all women.
Yeah,
so it's all women. I'm the only fucking dude in the brewery. And these ladies kick ass at making beer.
Fuck yeah.
Right? And she's like a Latina woman just fucking kicking ass. And her daughter is following her footsteps. But yeah, no, we... Look, we're fucking normal folks, man. We love having a good time, and
God bless you guys, man. Seriously, I don't know, for whatever it's worth, man. You're I think, you know, the best the country has to offer. Man. So
thank you. I appreciate it. That's that fucking guy said, not me.
Man.
Yeah,
man.
That's fucking crazy.
Thank you, bro.
No,
appreciate it.
What's up, dude?
Thanks. Seriously. Yeah. Oh,